We're holding on Nun Amud Aleph by the two dots, a little bit above the middle of the Amud. We learned in the Mishnah about the various, the 12 different kinds of tumas that are severe, from a mess that are severe enough that a nazir has to shave and bring karbanos and so forth and start his nazirus over, as opposed to, again, a later Mishnah is going to tell us the other way around. You have certain tumas from a mess, which even though a person is tome for 7 days from them and needs to be sprinkled with paradrum of water, but nevertheless, he is going to need to be sprinkled, but he doesn't shave and start his nazirus over. His nazirus is just suspended for the 7 days of his tuma, and then he continues from where he left off. That's going to be no korban. So that's going to be the following Mishnah and Dalet Amud Aleph. So we talked about yesterday, because since the pasuk doesn't say if he becomes tomei lanefesh, the expression is v'chiyomus meis olav b'fesa pisa, and if a mess dies on him, so the implication is that even within tumas mess, there are certain tumas that are going to make that he has to start his nazirus over, as described in the psukim, and other kinds of tumas that are not. So we're in the middle of discussing the ones that are. And the Mishnah had set out kazayis mess for kazayis from a body, about kazayis netzel, and for kazayis of netzel, which is we're going to discuss now in the Gemara. So ve'ezehu no, tonen abanon, actually, Tosfos adds the words, ve'ezehu netzel. What is the definition of netzel? B'san ha-mes shekorash, flesh from the dead body that congealed. So in other words, you have like a liquid that some of the flesh liquefied and then it congealed into like a gel. Umoihel sheher tiach, and also you have liquid that came out of the body that then you boiled. And it got hot enough to form bubbles. So both of those, it would be, in other words, that in both those cases, well, that's what I was going to discuss now. It sounds like both of those are netzel, and therefore both of them would be metame, and then you have all the usual rules. The Mefarish points out that the word netzel comes from a word that can be related to a shodash in Hebrew that means to separate. You have the line Yaakov says to his wives when he's telling them about how he's been working for Lavan all these years and Lavan cheated him, etc. He uses the expression by Yatzeh Lalikim, Hashem saved, which means Hashem set aside, designated a sheep from your father that ended up by me, because Hashem arranged that the sheep would be born with the colored markings and whatever. So the point is the word Yatzel can mean something that is separated that from something else. So the same way over here, you have this liquid, this gel that's separated from the rest of the body. Anyway, so the Gemara asks, Hey Chidomi, what exactly is the scenario? Ilema deloyad ina didehu. Are you talking about why are we boiling it to see whether it forms bubbles? If we don't know whether it actually came from the flesh of the mess, or conceivably it might instead be from saliva or mucus of his. Now, saliva or mucus of a mess would not be matame, even if they might not be matame at all. The Gemara elsewhere talks about that really only blood from a mess is matame, or even fine, they might be matame or tumakala, they might be fine. As they left the body, they touched the mess, and therefore they would be a rishon l'tuma or something, but they certainly wouldn't be an avatuma to the or avia voisa tuma to the extent that they'd make the person tummy for 7 days. So if we don't know whether it's a secretion from the actual flesh that liquefied, or whether it's maybe saliva or mucus or whatever, so ki korash mai havi. What's the difference whether it congeals? Even if it congeals, it might have been mucus or something. You can't make the nozer shave and bring carbonus, etc., because of a suffix when you have the stuff over here that might be mucus.
I thought it boiled by itself in the sun. I didn't know that you have to boil it.
No, we're talking about pastures. Well, would be the same thing, whether you boil it or whether. But we're going to talk about soon, actually. We're going to talk about we're going to talk about soon in the Gemara as far as fat, if you boil it versus you leave it out in the sun, where the difference is you leave it out in the sun, it spoils. Here we're talking about netzel is already spoiled, but.
So we're taking something that we're not sure
and we're boiling it, let's say, yeah. But if we don't know whether it's netzel or whether it's mucus, still, what's the difference whether it congeals or not? So no, evidently we have to be talking about, we know it came from the body of the actual mess. Well then, then what's the difference whether it congeals or not? Even if it doesn't congeal, if it's from the actual flesh that decayed and liquefied, then it's going to be metame as netzel, whether it congealed or not. So why are we mentioning the point that it congealed? Why does that make a difference? So the answer is Amar Rabbi Yirmiyah b'stam. So Rabbi Yirmiyah says we're talking about where we know it came from this mess, but we don't know whether in fact it's from liquefied flesh or whether it's mucus. E korash moyalu. So what happens is if it congeals, then we have every reason, then we know for sure that it's moihol, that it's a secretion from the body, and therefore that it's definitely definitely netzel, it's definitely metam. Loy korash, but if it doesn't congeal, dilma kichay v'niyahu, then it might be just saliva or mucus, and then it may not be matame, because at most you have a suffix over here. There are different gersois and different. There are a couple of different gersois and a couple of different explanations over here. In fact, Tosfos does not have the gersa dilma. Tosfos leaves out the word dilma, and therefore what Rabbi Yirmiyah is saying is if it doesn't congeal, then we know for a fact that it's mucus, and therefore then it's not metabolic. And Tosfos says the same thing would be as far as boiling it. If it makes bubbles when you boil it, then we know that it's netzel. But if it doesn't, then we know that it's only saliva or mucus, and it's not metabolic.
You say congeals, it means once it cools down.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Well, congeals to begin with would mean actually where to begin with it was never boiled. It just it got hot enough to liquefy.
But the mucus does congeal.
Wait, what?
Actually, mucus is not metame, and it does congeal. It does solidify.
But not to the same, not in the same way as netzel would solidify, though. I mean, So if it congeals in a way that only netzel does. So yeah, when we're talking about congealing, what we mean is, in other words, that it never became hot enough to boil. It just became hot enough to liquefy, and then afterwards it congealed into like a gel. So even mucus wouldn't be, even if mucus hardens, it would sort of dry up or whatever. It wouldn't really reach that jelly like consistency that you would have from actual metzel.
So why is he boiling it for then?
So there's two possibilities. One is that you wait to see whether it congeals. The other possibility is you want to check it faster or whatever. So therefore you boil it and see whether it forms bubbles when it's boiling. If it congeals, then you already know. Then you don't need to boil it, right? But it's one or the other, right? That's the way Tosfos learns. The Mefarish and some other Rishonim learn. They have the word. They do have the word dilma. And they explain what Rabbi Yirmiyah is saying is that it's true. Even if it doesn't congeal, that's not necessarily that it's not netzel. But we have a suffix. It may be netzel or it may be not. But it's true that you can't have a mess shave and bun korbanos because of a suffix. So therefore you would wind up with a suffix. In other words, according to Tosfos and the Rosh, what we're saying is the flow of the Gemara, according to Tosfos and also the Rosh, is that the Gemara asked that on the face of it, congealing is not really a proof one way or the other, because yeah, mucus can congeal as well. So what is Rabbi Yirmiyah answering? So what does it mean? Does it mean he's arguing the mitzios that the Gemara started with the question that mucus doesn't, that mucus could congeal and look like netzel, and Rabbi Yirmiyah is informing us that in fact it doesn't. And he's saying the stam. He's saying only that would only be the case if we don't know whether it was netzel or not. If we knew for a fact it was netzel, it wouldn't matter whether it congeals or not, because either way we'd know that it's netzel. So now, according to the Mefarish and according to Rabbeinu Peretz, the flow of the Gemara is a little bit differently. The question was, if we know that it came out of the flesh of the mess, then again, it shouldn't matter whether it congeals or not. And if we don't know whether it came from a mess or whether it came from a living person, then how does it help whether it congeals or not? It still could conceivably be mucus. So Rabbi Yirmiyah is telling us that it's stem. Whether we know or whether we don't know, what we can say is if it congeals, we know for a fact that it's from the body of a mess, because if it was just mucus or whatever, it wouldn't have congealed like that. Meanwhile, if we know for sure that it came from the mess, but if it doesn't congeal, it might conceivably be mucus from him, and therefore it wouldn't be matame. That would be the word dilma. So in other words, Rabbi Yirmiyah would be saying it's true. There's no way to know 100% for sure that it is mucus, but if it congeals in a way that netzel does, then you know it's netzel, and if it doesn't, then you're left with a suffix.
If it would be urine from the mess, would it congeal?
Urine from a mess wouldn't congeal. It's not in the same way. It would basically dry up. Okay. Yeah. Okay. The Gemara says, "Bomine abaya merava. Yesh netzel lebehema or a netzel lebehema." What about, we know that a dead animal is metame as a nevela, but mago or masa, if you touch it or if you carry it. So what does the concept of netzel apply to an animal as well? Suppose you have a kezias of a nevela, of an animal that liquefied and became netzel, would it be metame b'mago v'masa or not? Obviously, the question is not, Tosafos points out, obviously, the question is not as far as a nazir shaving. A nazir doesn't do anything when he touches an animal. It's only tumas mes that makes him shave. But it's a more general question. If a person were to touch a kezias of netzel from an animal, would he become tummy? So the question is, mi aminin gmiri netzel da osim adam, do we say that the halacha l'moshe Sinai about netzel applies only to netzel that comes from a person, that we're saying that is similar to the flesh of the person that it's matame, aval da osim behema loy, but not if it comes from an animal, there's no halacha l'moshe Sinai about that, and therefore it would be like any other secretion from the animal that wouldn't be matame, oduma loy shna, or maybe there's no difference. Maybe the same way as by a person, not only intact flesh, but even liquefied flesh, netzel, is matame, maybe by an animal, it's the same kind of thing, with its own kind of tumor, of course. And the Gemara continues, Hanicha. Now to understand the next piece of Gemara, we need to introduce a machlokas that you have elsewhere in Shas, in particular in Bechoros. Now you have like this. The Torah tells us about a nevela. The Torah says, "Lo yisoichlu kol nevela." You shouldn't eat any nevela. Like ger asher b'sharecha t'tnena v'achala, you can give it to the ger, meaning a ger toshav who lives in your cities, and he can eat it because a ger toshav, after all, has only accepted on himself not to worship avodah zarah, or maybe the other shev mitzvahs menayach. He's allowed to eat nevelas, so you can give it to him or eat it, and he can eat it. So besides the actual din that we learn, therefore, that you could do that, you're allowed to give it. You're allowed to give it to a ger toshav, or the pasuk continues, you can sell it to a goy. We also learn from that something about the definition of what is considered a nevela in terms of halachas of tumah. Since it says that the ger can eat it, then the implication is it has to be something that is edible by a ger. So now you have like this. If you have an animal that even while it was alive, it wasn't roi l'achila, because let's say it was so badly infected or whatever that even if it were to be killed or shechted on the spot, nobody would eat from it. Then when that animal dies, it's not metame as a nevela. Now, what happened? And the same thing also, if it was normal when it was alive, now it died and the flesh has been left long enough that now it's so spoiled that even a dog won't eat it, it's also not metame tumas nevela. The question would be, and here you have a machlokas Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Pada, what about if when the animal died, it was edible, now afterwards it's spoiled to the extent where a person won't eat it, but a dog will still eat it. Usually, and I mean many times in halacha, we consider, in the connection with Hilchos Chametz, for example, we're now 30 days before Pesach. We often say that something is considered chametz as long as it's roi l'achilas kelev. So now what happens is, again, when the animal died, it was roi l'achilas adam. Since then, it's no longer roi l'achilas adam, but a dog would still eat it. So now, Rabbi Yochanan will hold that it's still metame tumas nevela, because it's still roi l'achilas kelev. by Pada is going to say, as soon as it's no longer edible by people, then it's not called Nevela. The difference is, by Pada will say, I agree that there is something as far as Achilas Kelev, but that will be, as long as it's Roila Achilas Kelev, then all it has is what's called Tumas, is what's called Tuma Kala, a lighter, a lesser degree of Tuma. Rashi over there in that sugya in Bechoras, Rashi explained that by Pada's Tuma Kala versus Tuma Chamura would be that if he carries it even without touching it, Tuma Kala would be just if he touches it. Tosfos says that no, what it means is by Pada is going to say that when it's not edible by a person anymore, then the tuma kala that it will still have, meaning the tuma of food, tumas oichlin umashkin, it'll still be considered food to that extent. So now that's going to bear on our gemara over here, because after all, netzel is not edible either. So hanichal manda omar. So it'll work out well. In other words, we can easily understand that there won't be a suffix. The lashon hanicha is a little bit odd. is a little bit odd in this connection. And in fact, there are mefoshim who take out the Rabbeinu Peretz has a different girsa and says something like loyti boiloch. You'll have no question according to that opinion, because hanicha is usually when you have a question, then the Gemara will say hanicha. We can easily answer the question according to one man de omer. But what would be the question here? We didn't really have a question on either one of them yet that we should be saying hanicha. Anyway, so lamanda omer. So according to Bar Pada's opinion, that he says tuma chamura adlager, that this nevela, which was edible when it first died, and now it's spoiled to the extent that a ger toshav, that a person won't eat it, and only up to that point is it matame tuma chamura, which again, according to Rashi, means that even if you carry it, you'll become tame, and according to Tosfos, that it'll have the tuma of nevela. So actually, really, according to both of them, that if you carry it, you'll become tame. According to Rashi, the vote is, touching it is called tuma kala, in the sense there are many different things that if you touch them you become tummy. But tuma chamura would be carrying it, because there's far fewer things that if you carry them you become tummy. Take for example a sheret. So take for example in our Mishnah we had actually our Mishnah is not a never mind our Mishnah. Take for example a sheret. Only if you touch it, dead sheret. Only if you touch it do you become tamei. Not if you carry it. And there's a lot of other examples like that. So therefore Rashi calls tuma chamura and tuma kala that distinction. Tuma chamura would be when it has still the full tuma of a nevela, even as far as carrying. Tuma kala would be where it only has tuma when you touch it. And again,
sheep would be the same thing.
Sheep.
A sheep or a behemoth.
Yeah, and yeah, we're talking any kosher or non-kosher animal. It's all the same thing.
Yeah, you touch it.
No, that's what we're saying. A normal nevela that's still edible by people, everybody agrees that if you touch it or carry it, you become tummy.
Either one,
yeah. Now we're talking about this one has spoiled, and now it's not roy for a person to eat anymore, but a dog will still eat it. According to Bar Pada, again, not according to Rabbi Yechon, according to Bar Pada, we're going to say at that point, it loses its tuma chamura. At this point, all it has is tuma kala. Now, what is tuma kala? According to Rashi, means that at this point, only if you touch it are you going to become tamei, not if you carry it. According to Tosfos, rather, it's going to be that up until that point, up until it spoils to that point, whether you touch it or carry it, you're going to become tamei. After that, you're not going to become tamei by touching it at all. It's only going to have the din of tuma of food. So it can be matame other foods, but it can't be matame a person, except maybe to a certain extent, the rabbanon. Anyway, so if you say like by Pada, tuma chamura ad l'ger, tuma kala ad l'kelev, he says that the animal, the dead animal, has a stronger tuma, meaning let's take, for example, Tosfos's position, that it means that it has some, that it has tumas nevela, until it's not roy for the ger to eat, and then the tuma kala ad l'kelev, and then it still retains tumas oichlin until it's not roy to eat by a dog. So then Shapir. So then, in fact, there's no room for Suffolk because obviously Netzel is after the flesh decays. So it's already not Rory Lachilas Adam. So therefore, for sure, there's not. So when Abaye is asking Rabba whether the concept of Netzel exists as far as an animal, according to Bar Pada, there's really no room for the question at all. Because according to him, once it was not Rory Lachilas Adam, which it had to go through that stage before it ever became Netzel, then by that point, it doesn't have Tumas Nevelus anyhow. But the question would be, according to Rabbi Yochanan, who holds that even Tumah Chamura, that even the Tumah of Nevela exists ad lekelev until it gets down to the point where even a dog won't eat it. Because again, the scenario is the animal was perfectly healthy or perfectly edible when it died. So then everybody agrees at that point it's Matamah Tumas Nevela. Now it's spoiled to the extent that a person won't eat it. You no longer have like Gera Shevisharecha. Nevertheless, though, it's still Roy Lachilas Kelev. And Rabbi Yochanan is going to say, therefore, it still has Tumas Nevelas. So now, if part of it's spoiled and then liquefied and became Netzel, then you're going to have the question. So So what are you going to say? Would we say that it still only applies as long as the flesh is still intact? It may be spoiled, but it's still recognizably flesh. Or would that apply even when it liquefies and becomes netzel? So the Gemara says Toshma. Well, let's. In other words, the question would be, would we say that maybe one, it's fine, Netzel maybe could be eaten by a dog as well, but maybe we would say that once it changed from its original form and it liquefied and became Netzel, maybe then at that point we would say, even though it's Roy Lachilas Kelev, it's really like a new substance. Tosfos calls it Afra Ba'alma. It would be like just dust. By the way, this kind of thing, as far as when one thing changes into another, whether it changes its status in halacha, that comes up in the halachas of kashrus. For example, there's a whole discussion about gelatin, for example, which is, when you get down to it, gelatin is basically netzel, but made in a way that it didn't spoil. But it at one point, it goes through a stage when it's not edible. And it's transformed from how it was originally as the flesh or the bones or whatever it is of the animal that it's made from. So that's the thing. There was a big argument among poskim when gelatin was first invented, whether maybe we would say, even if it comes from non-kosher animals, maybe it should be mutter to eat. Al-derech lactosfus is saying over here, after ba'alma, maybe it becomes like dust. And even though it originally came from a tummy animal, maybe it's been transformed enough that now there's no issue with it. However, many other poskim disagreed, especially because over time, the methods of making gelatin changed. Yeah, the fact that in kosher candies and whatnot and jello and whatever we use, for the most part, they use fish gelatin, or once in a while they have gelatin. Once in a while they have gelatin from kosher shechted animals is in order to respect the opinions that hold that you need to have it from kosher sources, that if you were to have it from non-kosher sources, then it would remain tamei. We wouldn't say it's after the Ba'alma. There were in fact poskim who held that regardless, that you could even use gelatin from pigs or whatever, as they often make it from commercially, and it would be mutter because after Ba'alma. And you have similar discussions about certain other things that come from non-kosher sources. There's a discussion, for example, about musk, which comes from a secretion from a certain kind of animal. According to some opinions, that's the myrrh in the keturus. Again, it's dried and becomes a powder before they use it. And maybe even though it comes from blood, then the yeshomim that's mutter to eat, and yeshomim that not. Anyway.
Which means squeezed out, or no?
It means like it's something produced by a gland in the animal, which it collects in a pocket sort of inside the animal, and then you collect it from there. So the Gemara says Toshma. So let's try to bring a proof. A Braisa says, now we know there's the concept like this. The Torah tells us that so you have the nevela of an animal. We're saying if you touch it or carry it, then you become, if you touch or carry a kazayis of it, you become tamei. Then there's a special kind of thing called nivlas oif tahor. You have a kosher bird. If it died without shechita, then it's not metame by touching or carrying it, but it has a unique tumah. namely that when a person swallows it, if a person swallows a kazayas or more of it, then he becomes tame and his clothes become tame at the moment he swallows it. So a braisa says, suppose you were to take the fat of a dead kosher bird and melt that in the fire, tame, then it would still be matame because it's normal enough to melt fat in the fire. So therefore it's still edible. People will still eat it. And therefore, if a person were to now eat a kazayas, if a person now were to swallow a kazayas of that liquefied fat, then he'd become tame because it's kazayas from a nivlas oif tahor. On the other hand, bachama tahor. But on the other hand, if he liquefies the fat by leaving it out in the sun, then he'll be tahor because then when you leave it out in the sun, it spoils and then it's not roi lachilas adam anymore. So now the sakdaidach adlekela v'afilu behema nami. So here you have a different girsa that Tosfos has, that the isak ledach yesh netzel behema. If you're going to tell me that there is netzel for an animal, and the Gemara is assuming, if we're going to say that netzel applies to an animal, we would assume it applies to a nivlas oif tahor as well. They're both nevela, and then you have the same basic concept with them, with the difference that with a bird it's only when you swallow it, and with an animal it's when you touch it or carry it. But other than that, the concept of what makes it considered an nevela would be the same basic idea if it died without shechita. So if you're going to tell me that there is netzel when it comes to an animal, So instead of the words abla kelev, Tosfos has the words b'isakadich yesh netzel behema. Then afila behema nami. Then you would have to say if you were to say yesh netzel behema abla kelev, and you were to say that it applies, that like Rabbi Yochanan says, and it's still matame the tuma of nevela until it's not roi lachilas kelev. So afila behema afila bechama nami. Then the same thing would apply, even if you melted it in the sun. Because after all, the same thing. It's not roi lachilas odom anymore. It was left out in the sun and it spoiled, but it's still roi lachilas kelev. Yet the braisa is telling us that if you melted the fat in the sun, then it's not metame the tuma of nivlas oif tahor anymore. So therefore, that implies that yes, when it comes to tumas nevela, once it's not edible by a person anymore. Now, Rav Yochanan being an Amora can't argue with a Braisa. So therefore, if the Braisa is telling us in the case of the fat that if you melted it in the sun, then it's not metame, the tumah of nivlas oif tahor when you swallow it, then the same thing should apply as far as a nevela of an animal, as far as the netzel of it, and therefore that would be the answer. Even though, yes, you would say that the flesh, Rabbi Yochanan would say, as long as the flesh is still intact and recognizable as flesh, then it would be metame until it's not roi lachilas kelev. But here where it became a different substance, because it turned into netzel, or in the case of the bird, we took the fat, melted it in the sun, and now it became like something else, then you would say that it's not matame anymore. So that would be the answer then, that netzel would not apply to an animal. But the Gemara answers, that's not a proof.
By putting it in the sun, you can change the effect.
Yeah, that's what sounds like. But the Gemara says no, because you could say, Amos come in machila, and Amos come in machile, because think of it like this. When does the fat become liquefied? Basa da'asruach b'chama. Only after it spoiled sitting there in the sun. So it has to be sitting in the sun for a while and spoil before it ever liquefies. Then kibben da'asruach havalei offer. So once it spoils to that extent, it's considered like dust. In other words, it wouldn't even be roi lakelev. So netzel is one thing. It's still netzel was not out in the sun. It just liquefied for whatever at room temperature. And it's still roi lachilas kelev. This fat that was left out in the sun and spoiled and now liquefied wouldn't even be roi lachilas kelev. So you don't really have a proof. So you don't really have a proof then from that that netzel of an animal should not be matame, and therefore maybe it is. So the Gemara has left the question open. And as far as the halacha, the Let's see. So here, the Rambam said it's a suffix. It's a suffix whether netzel is going to be metamin because ice, because the Gemara has left the question open. Okay. So now the Gemara is going to bring another discussion. Now we're going to turn from disgusting things like netzel to delicious things like honey, and then things like that, and we're going to talk about because we mentioned about liquefying fat. So now the Gemara is going to bring another discussion in, which is going to end up talking about liquefying fat from a mess as well. But in between, we're going to talk about a certain din involving honey and other liquids. So Tnan Hossam, really, we learn in a Mishnah in Masechta Machshirim. Kol Nitzak Tahor. Whenever you're pouring liquid from one container to another, then it remains Tahor. Meaning, in other words, so suppose you take a container full of Tahor liquid and you're pouring it into a lower container which contains Tomei liquid. Now you have a column of liquid that's connecting them as you're pouring. We don't say that column of liquid connects them and therefore that the Tumah should spread to the top container. We don't say that. And by the way, that applies also the other way around. We don't say, for example, let's say when you have a mikveh, if you have a higher pool and a lower pool and they're connected by a nitzik, they're connected by a waterfall, they're not considered connected to become one big mikveh. It's interesting, by the way, they found in the among the Dead Sea Scrolls, they found many copies of different books of Tanakh and so forth, which are very famous. They also found among them different other writings of the group that lived there, and among them they found including works on essentially halacha and shkafa and whatever. Anyway, they found ones that talk about this concept of nitzik and say that in fact nitzik is metame. So there's a well-known professor, Lawrence Schiffman, from guy, he's done over the years a lot of important work on the Dead Sea Scrolls. Now you find a Mishnah in Masechta Yadayim which mentioned the number of arguments between the Tzedukim and the Chachamim, and one of them was over this point. The Tzeduki argues that Nitzik should be considered a connection. How could you say? You're pouring from one container into another. You have a column of liquid connecting them. How could the Tumah not go from one to the other?
Because it's going out.
The difference? The point is, you still have liquid connecting them. If you have, for example, if you have two pieces of food in a tray, for example, and you have liquid connecting them from underneath, they're going to both become tamei. So the tzaduki was arguing, why should it be any different over here? And the chacham explained to him that there was a difference. In some of the Dead Sea Scrolls, you find something about nitzik, that they're saying it should be tahor and criticizing people who say otherwise. So this Schiffman wants to say that based on that, at least some of those writings over there, the people who live there may have been tzedukim, or at least they agreed with the tzedukim on that, and therefore they wrote it in theirs. But our halacha is that nitzik is not a connection. They live near the Dead Sea. They lived in caves near the Dead Sea. The usual understanding is that there was some kind of there were a group that Josephus calls Essenes or Issyim. They're called in Hebrew. Like they separated from the world. They didn't marry. They didn't. They had like a whole. They lived almost like monks. So that's the usual understanding, is that there were three groups. Josephus writes that there were three groups. You had the Prushim, which means the Chachamim, the Tzedukim, and then you had these Issyim. But this Schiffman wants to say that based on that, we see that either these Issyim agreed with the Tzedukim on that, or maybe even they themselves were like a splinter group of Tzedukim or something.
If they weren't married, they would have disappeared. So
well, then they'd recruit people. They'd get people to join them by teaching them. Whatever, anyway. So we learn in a Mishnah, kol nitzik tahor. So any nitzik remains tahor. So the liquid in the top container does not become tamei. Chutz midvash hazifim, with the exception of honey of zif. Now Tosfos brings from a Gemara at the end of Sota two explanations why it's called honey of zifim. Rabbi Yochanan says that the word zifim is related to the word ziyuf, which means forging. This is such thick honey that they mix it with water or with wine in order to thin it out, and people don't even realize. Like people go and sell it. People take some of this honey, and instead of selling it as pure honey, they adulterate it with water or with wine or whatever, and people don't even realize because it's so thick to begin with. Rish Lakish says over there that there's a place in Eretz Yehuda called Zif. We find, for example, in Tilim, the Vayazif and Vayemru L'Shol, they went twice and mastered on Dovan and Shol and on David the Shol. It's a place in Eretz Yehuda. So Rabbi Rish Lakish says it's called Dvash HaZifim because it comes from that area of Eretz Yisrael. Whatever the case, that stuff, as the Gemara is going to go on to say, is very thick. That's tzapichis, and another exception as far as the rule of nitzik is tzapichis. So Tosfos brings again two definitions. One is that it means when you take honey out of the hive mixed together with the wax, like this. You have the honeycombs made out of wax over there, and then you have the honey is stored inside the cells of the honeycomb. So usually you take out. Usually you separate them out, and you heat up the honey so it flows out of the things. What?
The wax doesn't come with
honey. So the wax. So normally you take out the honey without the wax. If you take it out mixed with the wax, then it becomes very thick, and that would be tzapichis.
How would you separate the wax from?
So afterwards, you would boil it, and afterwards the wax would float to the top or whatever. But meanwhile, it would be very thick. Tosfos brings from the Oruch another explanation that it means that it's a kind of batter that was mixed with honey, where again it's a very thick batter because it was made with honey, and therefore those kinds of things, the Dvash HaZifim and the Tzapichis, those kinds of things, Nitzik will be Tomei. Because what happens is when you're pouring those things from one container to another, then therefore, so now you have, there is a real connection between them. It's not just, in other words, with liquids, you have the liquid is constantly in motion. Here you have, because they're semi-solids, then so thick, then as the Gemara is going to go on to talk about, therefore there's more of a connection between the top container and the bottom container. And therefore, if the bottom container is Tomei, the top one will be also. And the Mishnah continues, Beshamay says the same thing also applies to a mikvah, which is also a semi-solid kind of stew, or like a porridge made of grisin or pul. Grisin means split peas, pul means whole peas. So they would make this kind of dish out of them, which is like a semi-solid, sort of like the consistency like of hot cereal or something. And so Beis Shammai says that that kind of thing also is thick enough that the same din would apply, that nitzik would apply to it as well. And Beis Shammai says, because it springs back, meaning, in other words, so suppose you take some of this mikvah and you start pouring it into another container. So like this, you have, it's very, very viscous, it's very, very, very semi-solid. So it starts, so sort of stringy, right? But what happens is if you stop pouring, then it sort of bounces back a little bit into the upper container. So that's considered a strong enough connection between them that one would be metame the other. So now the Gemara says, "Boy, Rami Bachama." So Rami Bachama has a question: Yesh nitzuk lo oichlin? Does the concept of nitzuk apply as far as food? Or does it not apply as far as food? Maybe in other words, we're talking about nitzik as far as liquids. Does the concept of nitzik apply to foods as well? So suppose, for example, you were to take fat and liquefy it and pour it into food. So now if the container that had the fat in it was tahor and the food below was tameh, would tuma go up through the fat and go and be metameh the fat that's left in the top keli?
The bottom one is the one that's tameh.
It has to be that way, because if the top one is tameh, obviously as you're pouring into the bottom one, it's going to make whatever was there tameh anyway. There's no question about that. So it has to be, the whole concept of nitzik is the other way around. So Rami Bachama asked, "Miyam Minan? Do we say that the reason why the concept of nitzik applies to these things, dvash hazifim and sapachas, is mishum de ispahu riri, because they have riri in them? Means like a riri literally means saliva. In other words, they're very sticky. They're very sticky and stringy. And like Ms. Chamai said, they spring backwards when they when you try to pour and when you're pouring them. So in that case, vahani. Well, then, for example, when you're when you're liquefying fat, less bahuriri, it doesn't have that kind of stickiness and stringiness to it. So therefore, so maybe the concept of nitzik wouldn't apply. Or maybe the reason is because the dvash azifim and whatever are very thick, and therefore, so that the so the fact that they're thick, they're semi solid, and therefore that's enough to make them count to make them considered joined together. Well then, hacha hosmichin. Well then, the same thing. And then in that case, when you're talking about as far as for example pouring fat, it's also very thick. So maybe in fact the concept of nitzik would apply to it. Smichin literally means of a very thick consistency. So a very thick consistency, and therefore maybe the din would be that would be enough to make them considered connected together. So do you require really, do you require actual like saliva-like strings that go from one to the other, or do you just need that it needs to be thick? So in other words, Tosfos says, now what about mikvah shel grisin that has these really, and still the Tanakhama doesn't care about it. So the difference would be, in other words, it has really, but they're not really as strong as with other kinds of food. So is it, in other words, that the key thing is whether it has riri, therefore the Tanakhama is going to say that the ones that you have in mikvah are not strong enough to be considered a chibur, and Ms. Shammai holds that it is. So in other words, it's just a question of where they draw the line, or is it rather that the Tanakhama would say any food that's semi-solid, any food that's very thick, would have the same din. In that case, we'd say so. Bishama and the Chachamim would be arguing about what the reason behind it. What's the idea behind? So in other words, like this, there's two ways of understanding. You could say that they're arguing about the Metzius, not really the Metzius, but in other words, within really themselves, where do we draw the line? Do you have to have like real, do you have to have a lot of really or only a little bit? So the Dvash HaZifim and Tzapachas have a lot of it, and the Mikvah has only a little bit, and therefore Bishama is saying that a little bit is enough, and the Tanakhama would be disagreeing. Or is it that the Tanakhama is saying anything that's thick, like Dvash HaZifim and whatever, would have the same din? However, mikvah is not thick enough to be that. Ves Shammai would say there's a different reason. The reason is because of riri, and therefore they're saying to the Tanakhama, listen, you're mentioning dvash azifim and so forth, which has riri. You should be aware mikvah has riri as well. So what is it? Amar Rava Toshma. So Rava says we can prove it as follows. A Braisa says, chelav ames Yerushalim, if you have a whole piece of fat from a mess, so kezayis, and then you melted that kezayis tome, then it's still tome as tumas mes, because you still have the whole kezayis together. On the other hand, if to begin with the kezayis of fat from the person was separated into pieces, so if to begin with it was separated into pieces. So you never had a whole kezayis together, and then you melted it. So now it all becomes one pool of liquid, tahor, then it still remains tahor, because this is called chiburei adam. This is called that it was joined together by a person. It has to be that it was naturally joined together, as it would be if you had a kezayis, a fat that was taken out of the mess to begin with. Here what you have, where beforehand it was broken up into pieces, And now you melted it, so you don't really, it's not considered to be a complete kezayis. Tosfos points out, now we did learn yesterday, we said you had the revius dama bar mishne mason. You had, for example, a revius of blood that came from two different mason. And we said that Rabbi Akiva, we said that it's matami. You have a couple of other examples like that, but Tosfos says, as far as oihel, it'll be matame, because you can be, it's possible to have an oil over both of them together, but it's true, it wouldn't be matame a person by touching it. But here we're talking about tuma as far as touching. So therefore it won't be, because to begin with it was separated. Now, says Rava, v'isakadaydech ein nitzik lo'ichlin. If you're going to tell me that when it comes to food, there's no concern about nitzik, that in other words, when you're like in Romi Bachama's question, let's say again, you liquefied fat. In Romi Bachama's question, you're not necessarily talking about fat from a mess, because we're trying to find something that's tahor. It's a plain old fat from an animal, which you liquefied and you're pouring into food. And Romi Bachama was asking if the food you're pouring it into is tame, does the container of fat that you're pouring from become tame? So now Rava says, let's draw an analogy from the concept where you have chelev from a person that you're liquefying. So if you're going to tell me that there's no nitzik when it comes to foods, then the same thing should apply, even if the whole kezias was together from the kezias chelev of the mess, and then you boiled it on the fire, inevitably you're going to have, as you boil it, a little bit of it is going to separate from the rest, and in effect it's only going to be connected by nitzik. So therefore, litar. So it should also remain tahor. And yet, the Braisa is telling us that if you had chelev a mess that was a whole kezias together, and then you liquefied it, then it remains tame. So that shows that nitzik is considered connected. Well, if it's considered connected in that case, then the same thing should have to apply. Yes, in your case, Rami Bachama, where you're talking about tahor fat that you're pouring into tame food, then yes, it should be, the nitzik should be a chibur, and therefore, as you're pouring, and you have one end of the fat is touching the food, and the other end of the column of liquid fat is still in the container above, then yes, it should connect them, and they would be metame.
But shouldn't that depend on how thick it is?
Well, that's what we're saying, though, that the fat is thick enough that would answer the question. In other words, not a matter of really. It's a matter of dismichin, who that they're very thick, that they're very thick and semi-solid, and therefore that's enough for it to be considered a chibur. The same way as with the devash.
The harder it is, the more liquefied it gets.
To a certain extent, but not enough to make a difference necessarily. So doesn't that prove that? But the Gemara answers, Omer Abzera, Ano Uma Breidir Avina Tagimna, not necessarily, says Reb Zera, because I and Ma Breidir Avina together, we both answered, Hocha Maya Skinan, that you could say the case that we're talking about in the Braisa that Rava quoted is, as you're boiling the fat from the mess, Solik Amuda Dinura, you have a pillar of fire, a huge flame of the fire came up, Lapumidimona, to the opening of the container that you had the fat in, the Korash, and immediately then a kazais of it congealed all at once on the edge of the container. The isik kula gabe hadori, so the whole thing stayed together the whole time. There was no one drop that separated out at one point and then was reconnected. So you have here, there's different geosoids over here. Tosfos leaves out Tosfos and the Rosh leave out the word denura, and they say you're going to solik omud lepumidimana. What happened was you put the fat on the fire, you started boiling it. All of a sudden, you had, as a result, there's no direct fire right there in the container, like the word amud nura would suggest. It just means, in other words, you have a fire underneath it that's boiling it, but right away you have a kazayas of it all like vaporized kind of, and then congealed on the edge of the cave. On the top edge of the cave. Well, but do you have, in other words, so the fire at the bottom of the pot was so intense, was so hot that the fat didn't just melt as it usually would. It vaporized, and then it moved to the top of the container. Let's say the container was covered, for example, or whatever. The container was tall enough that the top edge of it is far away enough from the fire that vaporized fat reached there and it recongealed altogether over there. So you never really had it. So like this, when you liquefy it and you can talk about a drop of it flows away and then you have nitzik. But here where you have, where it all congealed together in one mass on the edge of the container, then we can say that to begin with, you had the kezias was together and now you also have it's all together and there was never any time when any of it was really separated.
Sound like you did this in Canada.
What?
Sound like you're doing this in Canada.
I don't understand.
Canada. Instead of Canada, where it's so cold.
Oh, maybe. Yeah, let's say you can talk about you're doing it someplace in cold weather. Yeah, let's say. So that's according to Tosfos and the Rosh, who leave out the word denura. Or the Mefarish has the word denura, and he explains, like we were saying, that it means, in other words, that you have that the flame was right there at the mouth of the container. And similar idea, in other words, it caused that some of it, that a kezias of the fat, also like vaporized and then recongealed in one place altogether. Either way, the point is, in other words, that you don't have that liquefied, where then we can talk about nitzik, and then it recongealed, and then you have the question of whether nitzik is considered connected or not. You could say that it's talking about it never went through a liquid phase, it went directly from solid back to solid, when it went from solid to vapor and back to solid.
The vapor would be
no, because the vapor you can't see, so you can't really consider that a separate state. And then physically, it would be considered in physics, it would be considered a separate state of matter, but in halacha, not necessarily.
That vapor is pretty healthy,
right? So de isikula gabe hador. So you could say you have the whole. You could say you have the whole kazayas together. So maybe therefore, in that case, then you could say forget about mitzik or not. Either way, you have a kazayas of fat together, and therefore that's enough. That's enough to be matam. So not necessarily does Rava's Braisa have a bearing on the question of Nitzik, which was Rami Bachama's question, because you can say it didn't go through a stage of Nitzik. So Amalei Ravina L'Ravashi Toshma. So let's try to bring another proof. We said in the Mishnah that we quoted before, Beshama Emra HaMikpa Shal Grisin V'Shal Pul. We said Beshama said that even a mikpa, that even the semi-solid food made out of split peas or out of whole peas, is also the concept of nitzuk applies in it. V'Pneishen Sodin L'Achareyen. Because we said it springs backward. So therefore, it sounds like it's clearly saying that they figure the idea is really when you have these like saliva-like strings that connect one part of the food to the other. So now we should assume, says Ravina, that if Beis Shammai is saying that that's the reason why it would be considered a nitz, that it would be considered chibur, then the Tanakhama basically agrees with that idea as well. The difference is that honey and sapachas, that dvasha zifim and sapachas have much more of that, whereas mikvah only has a little bit. So therefore, so now when it comes to fat, for example, it doesn't have riri at all, then the answer would be that it's not, that there's no nitz. So that would answer Rami Bahama's question. But the Gemara says midi iria. What kind of proof is that? Hosam mishum desimichim. In fact, you could say that the Tanakhama holds that the reason is why with dvash hazifim and so forth that nitzik applies is because they're very thick. So nothing to do with springing backward, nothing to do with riri. Just the fact that they're thick is enough for the Tanakhama to say. That mitzvah should apply. So then in that case, it would apply to fat as well, because that's also thick. Hacha mishum riri, whereas according to Beis Shammai, you could say the reason is they say about riri, they're mentioning the idea of springing back. The Tanakhama never mentioned such a thing. So not necessarily, according to the Tanakhama, something that's thick but doesn't spring backwards, that nitzik should be considered connected, not necessarily. Maybe only according to Beis Shammai, but not necessarily according to the Chacham. And that in fact is how the Rambam paskins that when it comes to food we say hey, that when it comes to food there's no nitzik or there's no nitzik when it comes to food only when it comes to liquids. So therefore, in a case that we're talking about over here, for example, pouring fat from a container into food or whatever. So the Rambam phrases it that only the dvash hazifim and the tzapachas, only there is nitzik chibur because of the rear, because they have these saliva-like strings, and the Rambam describes also they're very thick like glue. So, but when it comes to other food, then even if they're thick, for example, the mikvah shel grisin, or for example, melted fat or whatever, those don't have rear. So therefore nitzik doesn't apply.
Elmer's glue is a good
example. So Elmer's glue maybe would be the same thing if you were, Elmer's glue, pashtus and not makabel, tumas oichlin, because not edible. But yeah. Okay. Now, we said in the mission of Alma Loy Tarvan Rokov, we said that if a person has, that also a spoonful of Rokov, of dust that decayed from the mess, is also Matame. So of Kamashi Ore, so what's the size of this Tarvan, of the spoon that we're talking about? Chizkiya Alma Loy Pisasayad. Chizkiya says it means the amount that would fit in the palm of the hand. So from the tip, from the edges of the fingers, from the inner edges of the fingers until the wrist, that would be the amount that's considered a tarva. Just what you're holding, the blood, like where you hold your kiddush cup, just in the palm of your hand, it would be like that. Rabbi Yechanan kimloy chofnav. Rabbi Yechanan says it would be the entire handful, including the fingers. And the Rambam seems to understand that chof nov means a double hand, means a double handful, so it would actually be twice what so the Mefodish over here understands that it just means one handful. The Rambam understands it to mean a double handful. Like the Kohen Gadol when he takes a double handful of a Torah, right. There's an interesting, cute vote I saw about this, that you have the Gemara out there. Why is it that amount of Rokov is Matame anyhow? So the Gemara tells us that you have the famous idea that Hashem is going to recreate the body from the loose bone, loss of Mavoi, but you also have a different opinion that there's Maloy Tavid Rokov. You're going to have a spoonful of Rokov that Hashem reassembles the body from. And according to that, when Hashem created Adam and Chava in the first place, he also created them like that. Now you have the famous Gemara, it was Machloikas, where the Chava was created as a separate person joined back to Adam, or whether she was just a zonah of an extra piece that was removed from Adam. So if you say that Hashem created only one human body in the first place, then you only need half as much Rokov as you would as if two bodies were created, and therefore that would be the underlying reason behind this Machloikas. Anyway, so the Gemara says, Tanan. Well, let's look. We have a Tanan usually means a Mishnah. In this case, we're quoting a Braisa. Maloy Tarvad Rokov Sha'amru, when the Chachamim are talking about the Maloy Tarvad Rokov, Yeshnan, the size of it is Me'ikir Hetzboi Solomayla, from the roots of the fingers upward. Divrei Reb Meir, that's what Reb Meir says. So according to him, it would be only the area that's for that you hold within the fingers. Mechamim Maloy Chofna, when the Chachamim would say a whole handful or a double handful. So b'shleimel Rav Yechanan. So according to Rav Yechanan, there's no question. Who da amak Rabbanan? So he's saying according to the Chachamim, Elul Chizkiya, but Chizkiya who says it's only the palm of the hand. Commandment. Who is he going like? Like Rav Meir, like Rabbanan. He's not going like Rav Meir who says only the fingers. He's not going like the Rabbanan who says the whole hand because he's saying only the palm. So which is it? Amri. So the answer, you could say Maloy Pisasayad, Maloy Kisharetz Bois of Lamaila Chachiru. Very simple. The amount that would fit in the palm of the hand and the amount that would fit in the fingers is exactly the same amount. The fingers take up about the same amount of area as the palm of the hand. And therefore, so Chizkiya can be saying, according to Reb Meir, he's just defining it differently. Reb Meir is defining it in terms of the fingers. Chizkiya would be defining it in terms of the palm, but it amounts to the same thing. Okay, we're talking about an average person, I guess. But the Gemara answers, here's another way of answering. How do you know, you Makshan who are asking, how do you know, who says anyway that when Reb Meir uses the expression, that upward means towards the tips of the fingers. Maybe on the contrary, maybe he means meikaretz bois, from the roots of the fingers. And when he says lamaila, maybe he means lamaila in the direction of the wrist, because depending how you hold your hand, your wrist is either above the roots of your fingers or below them, depending on how you're holding and using your hand. So therefore, dumala mata midiyade, maybe it means on the downward direction towards the wrist. To have a maloy pieces of yad, which is exactly what Chizkiya said, the amount that fits in the hollow of the palm. So therefore, you're asking that Chizkiya doesn't seem to be like Reb Meir or the Chachamim. He could very well be like Reb Meir. He's just expressing it differently. Or not expressing it differently. When Reb Meir himself says from the roots of the fingers, lamaila, he doesn't mean lamaila towards the tips, he means lamaila towards the wrists. So the Gemara finishes off teku. Now, in fact, Tosfos takes out the word teku because there's no teku over here. There's no question that we left unsolved that we need to say teku on. Take would be when you have a suffix one way or the other. Here we're just saying that we have two ways of understanding Chizkiah's opinion. So you don't really need teiku. In fact, there's an explanation that that the teiku over here means unusually, but unlike in most of Shas, what it means is teiku. This answer will stand. In other words, this is a much better answer than the previous one. To say that the fingers hold exactly the same as the palm is a little bit of a doichek. Like you say, different people have different size fingers. But on the other hand, to say that Reb Meir himself, to begin with, never meant the amount that fits in the fingers. He meant the amount that fits in the palm, and that's exactly what Chizkiah is saying, is a much more glatt answer, and therefore Teiku let that answer stand as the valid answer to friend for Chizkiah. Okay, so we'll continue dealing tomorrow, Best Hashem, with the dinim of Rakov.